Welcome into the Jefferson My Drinks Fantasy Podcast, where we're on a mission to normalise 18 leagues. I'm joined today by the dynamic duo of...
Pete McManus.
Trio. And Ian Harrison.
And I'm going to come on to the trio. So, we have a special guest. If you're watching us, you can see it. If you're not, then you're just listening and you'll find out soon. So, we have got a special guest tonight, and it is... After he's finished embezzling money through Fantasy Game Day, we've got Millionaire Matt. How are you doing, Matt?
Millionaire Matt. Literally the only three people in the world that call me that. But yeah, I'm doing well, and I'm pleased to be on. Obviously, I've been a listener for a long time, and I think the first pod of yours that I listened to was last May when you did an episode just talking about best ball, and like the JTT was the first thing you'd edit that was best ball. So avid listener since then, so really pleased to be on.
Oh, it's nice, it's kind of come full circle as well.
Yeah
definitely. So tell us about Matt the NFL fan before we move on to obviously the important stuff that we're going to talk about tonight. So see there, Jets fan.
Yep, for my sins.
Did you believe in the Jets as much as Pete did last year?
For about 5 minutes, yeah.
I was right there with you, mate.
5 minutes of the season, yeah. Obviously, yeah. I had the optimism in the off-season last year that many of us had. And one thing I've learned is to whatever we do this off-season and this draft is to just temper those expectations ahead of, obviously, the 2024 season. Because being a Jets fan is not that fun, and hasn't been for a long time.
It seems to be all in for this season, though. They are throwing everything at it for one last push.
Yeah, I mean, we've obviously signed quite a lot of... I mean, on the pod I was on yesterday, I said, oh, then I'll change it to experience. We've signed a lot of experienced defensive players and offensive linemen who are a little bit injury-prone, and if it goes well, and we're lucky with injuries, then... You know, I'd be quite confident, but with the MetLife turf and just the curse that seems to be on the Jets, I'm never going to be confident until, you know, we're 10, 12 wins in. So we'll see.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about the Bengals have announced that they're going for the same turf as in MetLife.
Oh, well, I
didn't want to hear that at all.
Yeah,
why would you do that?
I was just going to say, it's probably a great signing, Mike Williams, the most injury-prone wide receiver in history, to go and play at MetLife as well.
That's what I mean. You know, Tyron Smith, and that, you know, I'm happy with the moves we've made, and it should improve the team, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Ask me again in week four.
If you get a full season of Rodgers, are we in the playoffs?
Probably, yes. I think so.
Yeah, with
the defence that we have, you know, I was really disappointed to lose Bryce Huff, but obviously we've signed Reddick and really pleased with that. If we win 7 games with Zach Wilson or Mike White over the last 2 seasons, we should win a lot more. So, should being the key word.
Elite Mike White. Yeah, if you're going to call Mike White on the pod, at least give him his full name.
Sorry.
So, H&P, have you noticed the T-shirt that Matt's wearing?
Say that again.
Yes.
It's a T-shirt that he won off us for being so good at Fantasy Game Day. And he spent all that money on his man cave, it looks like.
No.
Yeah.
Impressive stuff.
I came first the first week I played. That was before I actually sent you my ID to put on the tracker. So I came first, 130 odd quid or whatever it was. And I didn't have to pay into it again for the rest of the season. So I don't know that I'm up anymore. I probably was. I did withdraw some at the end of the season and chuck that into the JTT. But it's a decent little app. I enjoy it. And I know the guys that have set it up. So happy.
Oh, you actually know them personally?
Well, yeah, well, I've met Ankit at the first UKFFC event 2 years ago. So, and he's a Jets fan as well, and he's in the JTT this year. And Fantasy Game Day made quite a substantial donation as well to the JTT. Okay. So, really, really appreciative of that. So, obviously, happy to support them because of that as well.
I love that. Fantasy Game Day is one of the, I missed the season, and Fantasy Game Day is one of it.
Yeah, definitely.
It's always nice to have another way to mess things up at the weekend, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you get, when you get to the 9 o'clock games and like none of your players are relevant, you're like, this is a joke.
Yeah.
Before we move on to quarter two, which is all going to be about the JT team, we're going to come on to that. We're just going to have a brief chat about any sort of news in the NFL. So, Pete, I'm going to come to you for this one because you're making me very happy tonight.
Well, I mean, Matt obviously won't know that I own this shirt, but one thing you need to know about me, Matt, is when things go right for me in fantasy football, I get far too carried away far too quickly. So when Stefan Diggs had a good Monday night for me a few years ago and won a game, I got that email from Fanatics the following morning, I was like, bye, just so that I could rub it in with one of our teammates. And now I've got no reason to wear this shirt ever again. So I thought if we're talking about him tonight, I will at least wear it for the first quarter. And then it's just going to go in a box and we could potentially give it away. We could give it away on air if you want. We give it to one of, have we got any Bills fans who really still like Stefan Diggs?
Yeah, well, eight off to a fiver for it.
I really like Stefan Diggs. Yeah.
Because I've got I've got 15, 16 jerseys up in this little outbuilding that we have at our house. And most of them are like really well-known players. I've got a couple of signed jerseys. But one of them is a Dwayne Bowe Kansas City Chiefs jersey. And that is pretty much because back in about 2011 or 2012, he got me into the playoffs in week 14 because he'd done nothing all year. I played him because I had to, and he got something like 29 points in week 14, and that got me into the playoffs. So I've always been fond of him. Everyone's like, why have you got a Bowe Chiefs jersey? Like, there's so many other players you could have. Well, that's why. So it's a similar line to you, really.
And I need to learn to at least leave it until somebody gets me into the playoffs or wins me a championship. I think this was like a week two win that got me to 1-1, and I was like, brilliant! I'm absolutely delighted.
Do you think someone somewhere has got a Gabe Davis shirt for that exact reason?
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's going to score 30 points in fantasy.
I would imagine a best ball player has. Yeah, somebody really into best ball as opposed to regular fantasy.
So the big news is Stefan Diggs signing for the Texans. Has there been anything else really? Whilst I think about it, I can't.
It's been really quiet the last couple of weeks.
I saw a headline yesterday that there was a few NFL insiders saying it was big news that you could now have three different types of helmets. So I was you know that there's not a lot going on in the league when that's the biggest news around. Do you want to talk Diggs, though?
I will talk Diggs. I enjoyed it. What's made me laugh more than anything, though, is this time last year, there was a wide receiver rankings that was put out by maybe PFF or at the NFL or someone like that, and the Texans were ranked 32 out of 32. And then this year, we're ranked number one. But the only player that we've added is Stefan Diggs. So it just shows how good probably Nico Collins was, Tank Dell was, and CJ Stroud was. But I was having this conversation the other day, like that I don't think in terms of depth, I don't think there's maybe better than the Texans. There's a 1-2 punch that are obviously better than Diggs and Nico. But other than the Seahawks, maybe, because they've got DK, Tyler, Jackson Smith and Jacob Ayer and Bobo. I don't think there's anyone with quite the depth that the Texans have now, because obviously the Bengals have lost Boyd, so it would have been.
I can't believe you included Bobo in that list.
Bobo had a few good catches last year.
I mean, no, stretching it. Let's be honest.
He did all right. Did our Bobo?
Hey, are you a bit worried about Diggs's locker room reputation, shall we say? Because I would be if I was a Texans fan.
Yes, I am and I'm not, because I think this is why the brilliance of what they've actually done, changing his contract to just a 1-year contract. And I know from that, a lot of people are saying we've been rinsed by him, but he's basically on a prove it year. So we're probably going to get the best out of Stefon Diggs. And in his year, or his first 2 years with the Bills, where he was the biggest, best teammate ever to grace the planet, he's had 2 great years. I mean, he's had 4 great years with the Bills, really. I know there was a tail off towards the end, but I also think D'Amico Ryans is far more enthusiastic than kind of the coaches that he's been under. So I am a little bit worried, but not overly. And I also, now the rumours that it wasn't Diggs, it's actually Josh Allen that's been the problem, which, again, it's sort of, yeah.
Hang on a second here now, because you spent all last season slagging Stefon Diggs off.
I know.
About
I love him. Best player in the world.
Don't get enough targets. Moaning like on social media all the time. He signs for the Texans, and now Josh Allen's the problem.
No, I don't. I still think it's Diggs. It's just it's quite funny that since he's now left, this report has come out and said actually it was Allen that caused it in week one and whatnot.
When you say this reporter, was it a Texans reporter?
No, it was. It was a Bills reporter.
It was so, the mom.
Yeah.
So, Josh Allen, wide receiver one, then.
Happy.
Tank Dell's no longer relevant.
I don't think it's...
Josh Allen, wide receiver one.
I don't think it's great for fantasy. Because I think they've got too many options now. Like, I'm looking at all of those, like, from a fantasy point of view, I'm looking at all those, and I'm like, I don't think I want any of those Texans wide receivers, because it's not great. And I'll tell you the other thing that it made me realize is I'm not going to have CJ Stroud on any of my teams this year, because he's going to get talked up to a point where he just goes too high. Mm.
I think that's the biggest problem.
I was going to say, I've seen some really, really interesting dynasty trades for Stroud on social media in the last 2 or 3 days, or last week or so, which that looked like horrendous overpays for him. But, you know, that's what he costs now. And in terms of the wide receivers, I was in a couple of drafts in the last 10 days, one that's still going, which is just the best ball one. And, yeah, you look at the wide receivers and, you know, Dell and Collins are going in the top 12, top 15 wide receivers, as is Diggs, and then all of a sudden it's, which one do you want? As you said, Pete, probably none.
Yeah.
It's going to be really, for best ball, it'll be fine, because you'll have weeks where one of them will blow up, but it's going to be really difficult in redraft and dynasty choosing which ones to start.
And I think that's it. For best ball, I'd be like, whichever one falls the lowest, I'll take him.
Yeah.
Or potentially Dalton Schultz, like, because he's still around, so I just don't think CJ Stroud's never going to be for me a top 3-4 quarterback because he doesn't run, so but he's going to get drafted like fifth or sixth, I think, by the looks of it, which is ridiculous.
I also think, like, I've mentioned this before, the Texans schedule next year is not easy. We're playing 11 teams that had winning records last year, like, we're going up against better teams this year. So, like, I understand the hype and everything like that, but it's going to be a lot harder this year.
You're getting excuses in early.
I mean, they've got 2 losses against the Colts before we've even started.
Don't start this again. We've got a guest on. Don't upset me.
To the Colts. Just quickly.
Yeah, I am actually. I've said that. I'm terrified by Richardson.
Before we move on from the Texans, then, roughly this time last year, you told us 6 wins. You bigged them up and then told us 6 wins was about right. So you're bigging them up again. What's acceptable season as it stands? There's obviously a long time to go before September.
I'd say probably Elijah wins this year.
Yeah, but how far are you going to get?
I would like to see us go to the divisionals, but I'm not sure we will get that.
You went to the divisionals this year.
Super Bowl or boss, mate?
Sorry, championship. Sorry, AFC championship. But I think we'll probably fall. There is no reason for any Texans fan out there not to be super excited about this year. They've done amazing.
Yeah, fair enough, mate.
I think we're probably at the end of the first quarter here, aren't we? I've just had a look at the time. We've gone a little bit on. Yeah, my bad.
Good hosting, mate. That's
what happens when I take over. So move on to quarter two. Matt, no, leave it on. So we're going to move on to quarter two, and this
is losing a layer every quarter.
It's not that kind of show.
It's colder around here than it looks.
So quarter two is all about the Joshua Tarrant Trust. Matt, do you want to tell us just to start off with, one about the trust itself, and then we're going to move on to the actual JTT Cup from there. So do you want to give us a bit of a rundown?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So the Joshua Tarrant Trust was set up in memory of a young man called Joshua Tarrant who passed away from a brain tumour aged 16 in 2012. So his family live in the same town that I live in, which is about 20 miles southeast of Cambridge. And Joshua was diagnosed when he was 8 and actually fought the disease really, really well and kind of astounded the doctors to live as long as he did, but unfortunately succumbed to the disease when he was 16. And his parents, Sean and Denise, set the trust up 2 years later. And essentially they have a small team of people that work at Addenbrooke's Hospital in Cambridge who care for other children with brain tumours and help support their families. And, they're an independent charity, and I'll talk about where the JT Cup came from, obviously, in a minute. But I managed to meet them for the first time February 2022. We'd already had 1 year of the JT Cup, the first year, the smallest year, when we had just had 60 people and raised £750. And I met them in the late February to tell them that we'd raised £5,000. And honestly, hearing their story, like from them, even talking about it now, it gets me a little bit choked up because, I've got children, I've got an 8-year-old boy, and I just think, obviously, it'd be super hard to go through, and the strength that I've seen from them, obviously setting it up in his memory and doing such great work to raise money for other children who are suffering the same thing is just incredible. So, yeah, that's what it is. They have a small team that work with them. They're great. They do a lot of obviously fundraising events and stuff. And the JT Cup is just something that I devised out of a bit of lockdown boredom and wanting to help them. That's obviously grown every year since it started, which has given me something to do and focus on, but also support them with a good amount of money from the fantasy community, which is obviously the most important part of the JT Cup. So,
yeah, and it's not just the JT Cup. There's a fundraising for the trust, is it?
Oh no, yeah. There's loads of stuff that goes on. When I first met them, they had to raise £1,000 a week just to keep basically their area around the Books Hospital going. So £52,000 a year. That's not a lot of money for a national charity, but for an independent charity, it doesn't have any like PR, doesn't have any marketing budget, anything like that. That's a lot of money. So, the money raised for them for any means is hugely helpful.
Yeah. So, if other than joining the JTT Club, if people wanted to donate to the charity, how would they go about doing that?
So the easiest way to do it is to visit www.joshuatarranttrust.org, and that's their website that has more details of kind of Joshua's story on it. And there's a link on that page to a Just Giving site, and obviously any money paid into that goes straight to the charity, and that's how we get people to donate for the JT Cup as well.
Yeah, it's an amazing charity. Like I know you choke up talking about it, but when I initially came across the charity when I was reading up on it. Like, I got jumped up reading it. Mm. It's an incredible story.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, they've Sean and Denise, I can't compliment them highly enough. They have Joshua had older brothers, but you know, they foster kids as well since he passed away. They do a great job for young people. So yeah, they're definitely deserving of every money, every you know, pound raised through the JT Cup and other means. Definitely deserving of it.
Yeah.
So just going on to the JTT Cup now. So you mentioned there sort of the growth of it. Can you give us sort of your, I guess, the numbers behind it as well? Because I think it's quite amazing, because we're going to come up, I'll probably talk about something that happened earlier this year with yourself and this community of people, and just how, like, it's quite amazing, like, the sort of the support that is in the community. But just talk to us about the growth of the JTT Cup first off, and then, yeah, and what the targets are for this year. Because if I remember right, is it 2 days ago we were at 507 entries? Is that?
Yeah, that was announced. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so we started. I set it up in the October of 2020, and I wish I'd done it in 2020, but I a little bit of a backstory behind it. So one of my best friends is a Bears fan for his sins, and during the first COVID lockdown, because he's a window cleaner and a DJ, he couldn't do either of his
at the same time.
Yeah, that'd be amazing, wouldn't it? So he set up a Facebook group during the first lockdown called the Disco Kitchen. He used to just stream sets from his kitchen on a Friday and Saturday night, just for people who were stuck at home. And he then added a fundraising element, which went to the Joshua Tanner Trust, so people would donate prizes. He'd do a live raffle and stuff like that. So I thought in that kind of that first winter, I want to help him as well. And that's where it came from. So 2021 was our first year. I'd have been happy with 20 people, but we got 60 people. We raised 750 quid. That was 2021. 2022, it grew to 250 people, and we raised 5,300. And then last season was 440 people, and we raised 10,500. So this year, I'd love to raise, it's a really odd number, it's around 13,500, because that will take us to 30,000 raised all time. So ultimately, whatever we raise is going to be incredible. And if it's less than that figure, then, you know, it's still an amazing amount of money. And if it's more, then great. But yeah, at the moment, as of coming on to the pod, we have 515 people signed up for 2024, which is incredible. And 230 of them have come in the last 24 days. So, and because I have a couple of months off after the season finishes, where I don't tweet about it much, I don't talk about it. We do a Super Bowl fundraiser, but other than that, I keep quite quiet, and then end of March kind of go again. And that's where all these signups have come in the last kind of few weeks, which is great to see. So I'd love to get to 600. I think that might be a bit of a stretch, because, you know, we're looking at end of May to kind of close donations down. But we might get there. If we get to 550, I'll be happy to. So,
how do people sign up for it then, mate?
So there's two ways, really. I mean, the easiest way is for people that have X/Twitter. If you follow at JTT Cup, and in the pinned tweet on the JTT Cup account is the sign-up form. And on the sign-up form is the donation link, so that people can donate, upload their screenshot that proves they've donated to the form, and then that's all they need to do. And then I'll go back to them once I've got their division sorted and invites and stuff. The other way is to email, if they haven't got X, is to email jttbestball@outlook.com, and I can send them a link to what they need to do.
Lovely, thank you. So how do you manage 500 odd people in fantasy leagues?
Pete needs this information because he runs two and can't.
Yeah, it's a nightmare for me running two leagues.
So, obviously, you know, I've had a few years of practice now. So, I spend a lot of time in April and May setting divisions up and stuff like that. I love using spreadsheets, and I'm pretty handy with them because of that. So from that point of view, it's fairly easy. I have a guy who's been in it since the second year. I don't know how he does it. It's like witchcraft, but he is able to pull all the data out of Sleeper into a spreadsheet. So basically, he lives in America, and on a Tuesday morning, I wake up for work normally 5:30, and it's obviously midnight his time, and we've had the Monday night football game finished, and he then clicks a button, and into my spreadsheet goes 440 scores next to everybody's names, and I then obviously pull that out into the conferences and stuff like that. So in year one and two, in year one, I used to just tap them all in manually. That was only 60 people. If I did that for 500, that would obviously take a horrendous amount of time. but last year, when we had 440 people, updating the conference tables probably took an hour on a Tuesday morning. And then I have a wonderful team of, there was 11 of us last year. There's going to be 13 of us this year. We have a WhatsApp group, just the JTT admin chat, and I post the tables in there. Everyone's responsible for, well, they were all responsible for five divisions each last year, and then they just pull that out and they post it. So it doesn't take as much time as it probably could. The hardest part is probably just getting the divisions organised and then chasing patients kind of June time for people that have signed up but haven't donated. But outside of that, we've kind of got it locked down in terms of efficiency, and it just, I think, runs fairly smoothly. So I'm pretty happy.
Yeah. And I've seen on Twitter that you're right in the middle of sorting all the divisions out, aren't you now?
Yeah.
So we've got I keep checking my inbox every day.
Yeah. So we've got a music theme this year. And to begin with, it was just like, oh, I can just get 55 artists or bands and just sling everyone a division. And then I started kind of coming up with, not everyone's going to be in a division that fits a theme because it just won't work. But we've got things like, we've got a Steely Dan division, which is 10 people called Dan. We've got an S Club 7 division, which is a Hannah, a Joe, a Rachel, three Johns, a Bradley, and I can't remember the other guy's name that was in S Club 7, but... And what's been great over the last kind of 3 days or so is people that are getting put in divisions are coming up with some really creative team names that are related to the artist or band that are that they're in the division. So we've seen some really good creative funny names as well. So, but we're working through that. I'm working away over the weekend, so I'm going to take my laptop and get a load more division invites out. So hopefully I'll get to U3 over the weekend.
Yeah, I think you might struggle getting Hallam into a. Into a group. It's not the easiest name to get in.
Exactly.
I could have gone in the steps group with H.
The steps group, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, now you've given me an idea.
I did just want to quickly mention, I saw the JTT posted earlier, there was the Radiohead division and some of the team names that have come out. If you haven't seen that, go and just have a look at that post itself. So I think it was the first one was I'm Not a Creep, I'm Joe Burrow, and I was reading it on the train, absolutely in stitches. So, some good team names to be had there. Just before the end of this quarter, I did mention it earlier, and it was something that obviously happened to you quite personally this year, Matt. And I just want to say, more than anything, the fantasy football community coming together for you. Sort of your father and getting him back over here. I just want to say, like, it was awesome to see, and I guess more than anything, thank you to everyone that did help with that. I know that we were all involved with that. So, I just think sometimes, like, it goes kind of unsaid, sort of how good this community is and how, you know, how much it's sort of growing over here and how we all sort of support each other. From us, we just want to wish you, your family, all the best, and we're glad that, you know, the kind of the result was what was the best in the end. So for everyone that sort of helped donate to that, I guess thank you, we're glad everything with you and your family are all right.
Yeah, it was amazing to see, to be honest. And I can't thank everyone enough that got involved in that. It was uplifting at a really difficult time. So yeah.
Good. Awesome. What it should be about as well.
Yeah.
You know, we're all just having fun with a fun game, but you know, you can help out with good causes like those.
Yeah, when it gets to Sunday, you're rinsing everyone, giving them as much use as you can, and then if someone needs a hand, then it happens, and it's great to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there are some people in some of our leagues that I wouldn't help.
Yeah, me.
I didn't say that at all.
I just, before we move on, because we must be approaching the end of the second quarter, I just want to say I'm actually really impressed because obviously I'd seen the numbers and I know where we're at in terms of numbers for this year. I didn't realise you'd only done 3 years. So I assumed... Ian's probably told us this, but I assumed you'd been running this for 6, 7, 8 years. No. So I think to get to those sort of numbers in 3 years and going into the fourth year is really impressive, mate. It's great work.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And a little exclusive before we finish the quarter. So we are only £200 away from a five-figure sum raise for this year. So I reckon by the end of the weekend, people donating will probably pass five figures. So we're on our way, 70% of the way there to the target.
Awesome. Yeah. So if anyone listening out there wants to join the JTT Cup, it's best ball league. It is fantastic. It's very well run by Matt and his fantastic team of admins. Yeah. Follow them on Twitter, get in touch with Matt, get involved. It's a great crack.
Yeah.
It is.
It was like last year, I mentioned it several times on this pod. I loved it. I've never played best ball before. And I know we're going to come on to players and things like that, but if you've maybe never even played fantasy football before and you're thinking about doing it, it's probably the best one to get involved with because you can't mess up your team picks each week, which is something that I think all of us have been guilty of more than once or twice over the years. So it's phenomenal. And obviously, like we've mentioned, it's donating to a great cause. And yeah, we hope you get to that 13.5 so that we can cross over that 30k barrier as well. So get donating, everyone.
I wondered when we were going to start talking about last year's competition.
Well, hold on, you ended up beating me.
Let's get to the point of which one of the three of us did the best.
No, we're all right.
One of you did do the best. Was it Pete?
Yeah. I finished.
Didn't win his division. But...
I was second in the conference, so whatever week you call that, second to last week. It was. If I'd been in one of four or five other conferences, I would have had enough points to make the final. I wouldn't have won it, but I would have had enough points.
And Hallam, you were like a late replacement, weren't you? You weren't originally in it. Is that right? We had 440 people. And one person didn't essentially timed out for their first two picks, and I couldn't get hold of them. So, and they'd actually been in it the year before, which was why it was a surprise. If it was a brand new person, I might have got it. But so obviously you jumped in and you made the playoffs as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Do you know what those first two picks were?
No. Who were they?
Jefferson and Chase.
There you go.
they were probably his best two picks.
Yeah.
they were the only ones who actually made the playoffs in the end.
wasn't. We are going to talk about some of the players that did though. So I'm going to start with you, Matt. Give me one of your like best ball picks. Like somebody that you obviously don't give away your draft strategy, but give us like one of your top players that you do like in the later rounds for a boom or bust.
This coming year. Do you know what? For me, it's going to be a rookie that's going to have boom or bust games. It's going to be someone like Xavier Worthy or someone like that who, you know what it's like. You talked about it on your show last year in May when you were first talking about best ball. And your strategy was absolutely right. You know, you pick players that have a high ceiling but a low floor because you need them on weeks. They're not going to get you 20 points every week. But they might have weeks where they get you nearly 30, but they might have weeks where they get you zero. A Gabe Davis is a clear, you know, a clear example of that. So I think for me, it'd be someone like or Xavier Worthy or someone like that. It's a bit unknown. Last year it was Puka Nacua. So Puka Nacua went in on an average. So firstly, out of 55 divisions, he was only drafted in 42 of the divisions. So 32 rounds, and he went undrafted in 13 divisions.
What?
And his average draft position was round 24. And I believe out of the 42 that drafted him, 39 went to the playoffs. So last year, he was the absolute beast. So that for me, that it's going to be someone like that, someone that you don't think of, a bit unfancied, that you will pick up after round 20 that will end up being, you know, a top 15 at their position.
I had a look back at, obviously we talked about, you know, I made the playoffs, did quite well. I had a look back at me.
Did you? Yeah, I did.
I had a look back at the draft results just to go on that. And I was like, I must have picked some good players. And I was looking at basically all of my picks from 20 onwards. And I was like, he was rubbish. And I think I got Gus Edwards at the end of the 25th round, which wasn't great, but he did have that 4 or 5 week stretch where he was really ripping it up. And then I got Puka Nacua at the end of the 31st round. And that was it. Like, that was the only, you just need one pick. Like you say, as long as you've got the balance and the base of it right for the first 15 to 20 rounds, then the last 12 picks are just like, let's take a dart shot. And if one of them pays off, you're in the playoffs.
Yeah, and let's face it. I mean, you know, best fantasy, there is an element of luck in fantasy. And in best ball, especially season-long best ball, where you can't make any changes to your draft, there is a much larger element of luck. And but Puka Nacua didn't perform because, you know, the other round receivers were injured. Sometimes you fall into a great situation because a top player gets injured. That wasn't the case with him. He just done amazingly well, even though, you know, most of the Rams' offensive starters played most of the season.
Yeah.
You also got saved as well, didn't you, Pete?
I what, sorry?
You got saved by Matt as well, didn't you, last year? With your,
I did.
One of your later picks?
Oh, well, I got saved by whoever was in charge of our conference, yes. Because I tried, I can't remember who did I try and pick. I picked the former Colts running back, Naeem Hines, who turns out 10 minutes earlier had broken his leg on a jet ski. And the guy, whoever it was kind enough, and everybody else in the league was like, if you want to retake that pick before we move on, you're more than welcome to. So again, it was late on. So I did appreciate that. Like, again, that's the fantasy community coming together. So I could pick some other nonsense that did nothing. At least he had both of his legs. So
imagine you took that back and took Nacua. Everyone in the league absolutely raging.
Hey, I was big on Puka. You know I was going to get him at some
point. Yeah, you were getting him somewhere. Yeah. What's been your best finish in the cup?
Mine?
Yeah.
I failed to make the playoffs last year and the year, but I think I made a plus in the first year, but went out in the first round. So the first 2 years, we have head-to-head in the playoffs. So although it's obviously points four in the divisional round, we now have head-to-head knockout bracket. But obviously, we changed it up a bit this year. But I haven't done that great. But to be honest, I don't want to win it. I wouldn't want to win it. Like, that would look so dodgy.
even though
I have 12 other people that are in all the divisions, and it's all, you know, it would look so dodgy, especially, you know, when the winner gets a place in the Scott Fish Bowl. Be like, oh yeah, you just giving yourself a place in the Scott Fish Bowl. But so yeah, it's the one league I'm in that I probably wouldn't want to win.
And I know how you feel, Matt. I run two of our leagues, and I purposely ruin it for myself every year, just to, you know, because it just doesn't look right, does it? So throw it. I throw it for the rest of the league. Yeah. For the good of the league.
It's good thinking, Pete.
One thing I was going to say, and I know that all three of you are going to be really, really disappointed in this, is this year divisions are sizes of 10, not 8. And I know that...
Yeah, it's not a real league.
I know you're on a mission to organize 18 leagues. So, but this year, I'm going with 10 teams per division. So you're going to have to just get over that and
Didn't tell us that before we had you on, did you?
Yeah. Yeah, he waited until we first minutes to drop that one. I think for best ball, is it still points four for the scoring in the league?
Yeah, it'll always be points.
It doesn't impact it too much, does it then?
No, exactly. And I've been lobbying Sleeper on and off for 2 years to make points four, like for them to make points four a default setting for scoring. So obviously you can see it on the league, but we had people who had the highest PF and won their division, but their record was like 4-10 in the divisional round. But I wish that you could put on Sleeper PF as the default ranking so that I don't have to remind people. Because some people, for all the communication that you give, then like 7 weeks in, they go, how come I'm fourth when I'm, you know, 4-5-2 or whatever? And yeah. I've got the best record. So, but yeah, it'll always be PF. That's what best ball's for, in my opinion, anyway. So,
yeah, fair enough.
No, I agree.
It helps when you win your division and have the top points, though. That's what I did.
Oh, okay.
Wow. To be fair, it was only because Pete told me to pick up Nakua. So.
Yeah, and then he crashed and burned like the Texans.
He thought he was gonna come in like Denmark in Euro 92, late replacement, and win it all. And he just blew it, didn't he?
Yeah.
It's what happens with me in the playoffs. I crumble dramatically, very quickly. Either of you two, Ian and Pete, have you got any best ball players that you enjoyed?
I think after my performance last year, I'm not qualified enough to give best ball advice. we were saying like you get your base right in your first 20 picks and then your last 12 are, you know, random dart throws. I didn't get a single one of them right. So you can leave me out of that.
I had a quick look at the fan because the only rankings I could find were on Fantasy Pros at the moment. I couldn't get Sleeper to give me best ball rankings. For whatever reason. And I liked, from what I've seen early, have a quick look at it. I like Michael Wilson, who's ranked 175th. So I was thinking that was back in the 22nd round, but now you've changed it to 10 teams. That moves him up into the 18th round, which is a bit of a different. But I was like, he's currently their number one wide receiver at the Cardinals. Now there's a very good chance they're going to get a very popular name in the draft, or at least. A name in the draft, but I think even as the second wide receiver on that team, I think he could be worth a shout. I quite like him to make a bit of a jump in his second year. And Jonnu Smith's currently ranked as like tight end 90.
You've got to be kidding.
He's got best ball written all over him. In an offense that is creative as that. He had four top seven tight end finishes last year, which is what you're looking for. And that's for Arthur Smith, who doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, because Arthur Smith doesn't realise he's got so many better players on his field.
Yeah.
And he makes them block for Jonnu Smith.
But the Dolphins are gonna have games where I think we all agree that the Dolphins are gonna go 9-8. But the 9, they'll win by 30 points, and the 8, they'll lose by 15 points. It's like they're going to put up points in certain games.
How many times can they play the Broncos in one season?
Yeah. the Dolphins will put up points, and Jonnu Smith's going to get involved. I wouldn't draft him, but that's what I'm saying. For best ball, I think he's a good shout.
Okay, fair enough.
I also like Tank Bigsby this year for some unknown reason.
Oh, don't start this again.
He did absolutely nothing last year. No. But I don't think
Travis I already embarrassed yet, Ian but... once with this.
I know. I think the best ball for tight ends, I think someone like Juwan Johnson.
No, I had loads of Johnson last year and it didn't go great. But yeah, I'll probably get sucked into that trap again this year.
Yeah, I'll take some help. Why not?
And I like Shakir at the Bills as well, but I think he'll end up going.
I've got him on my list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What round are you going to take Rashi Rice in?
It's interesting. ADP in Sleeper is really high, obviously, up until what's happened. But I think I was in a startup where he I think he's average. His ADP is about 22 or something like that. It's something really ridiculously high. And this was a 12-team league, and you know, round six or seven, he's still sat there, and you just think, should I take him now or not? Like, we need another couple of weeks, don't we, to understand what's going on with him, and then how does that affect the rest of the team?
I think it could turn into a couple of mums. I've got him and Hollywood Brown in our Dynasty League, and I've been trying to shop them for about 3 weeks. And last night, I put another message out going, price has gone down slightly. But no, I didn't even get a response. So it's like, yeah.
Matt, was it your start Dynasty League the other day that you had your first two picks were Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr.? Is that you on Twitter?
That was. So that we've started up a JCT admin dynasty for this season. So they were all complaining about not being able to draft. So I just started the draft a couple of weeks ago. I was like, sod it, we'll just do it all now, including the rookies before the landing spots are even known. We'll just go for it. So yeah, and I just went for them two first two rounds. Nice. And then everyone was like, how did you get Marvin Harrison Jr. in the middle of a second round on a rookie draft? A rookie draft, it's a full draft. No, that's also the draft where Lewis Rees-Zammit got picked up in round 28, which was the last round of the draft. So we'll see if Mickey's got onto a good one there or not.
Dart for him.
Yeah, that's a gamble. That
that could be a best ball.
I like it.
It'd be interesting to see. So we're going to end up with definitely 50, between 50 and 60 divisions in the JCT this year. And 85 to 90% of the people in it will be UK based. It'll be interesting to see how many times Lewis Rees-Zammit gets drafted.
It's a good basketball pick, I reckon.
There's about 20 people from Wales, so if they're all in different divisions, that guarantees 20 times he's going to get picked up. But there might be a Tom Jones division which has 10 of them in.
Stereophonics division for the other 10.
Yeah.
Put them all together.
Okay. Well, they've lost McKinnon this year, though, haven't they? Could he be the new McKinnon?
Yeah.
He made it onto my roster last year, and he was tragic, though. So.
I don't think so.
I think they'll use him in. They'll come up with some plays for him, but I don't think he. I can't see him being a. I can't see him being fantasy relevant next year, but we'll see. You never know.
Yeah.
We will. So, we wrap this one up with something that. So basically, I had a conversation with a lad in work the other day. So what we're going to do is you three are going to be the GM of the Bengals, the Jets, and the Colts. I'm going to give you stats of players from this year. You have to select them and basically build your roster. But it's going to be, so your quarterback, basically there's four different types of quarterbacks. There's going to be four different groups of wide receivers, four different groups of running backs, and four different types of tight ends. So you have to come up with your offense from it. Some of the stats are obvious of who the players are going to be. Some of them, not so much. And then what we'll do at the end is we'll go through each other's rosters and see who you've ended up with based off stats alone.
You said to me,
so basically,
the game was really easy. You said to me when you messaged me.
It is really easy. Yeah.
I have no idea what's going on, but I'm excited anyway.
You've just made this sound really complicated. Right.
Yeah.
Probably. Right. So you've just got to pick one of the four based off the stats from last year. Okay.
Right.
And then
we pick the same one each, or is it like a draft?
Yeah. So
I'll take someone else.
No. So just write down which selection it was. Quarterback 1, 2, 3, or 4. Wide receiver group 1, 2, 3, 4. Running back group 1, 2, 3, 4. Tight end 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay.
Right. Got you.
So with the quarterbacks, you can have a pocket passer. A pocket passer with a slight rush, slightly more rushing, and then a pretty much a 50-50 kind of quarterback and rusher. Okay, so the first one is your pocket passer. He passed for 4,516 yards, 36 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, with a passer completion rate of 69.5%. He rushed for 240 yards with two rushing touchdowns. Okay.
So when I'm making this pick, am I assuming that it's behind the Bengals O-line, in which case I don't want anything to do with him?
No, just
did you not hear those stats? He definitely wasn't behind the Bengals O-line.
No. So quarterback number two is a pocket passer with a little bit more of a rush to him. So it's 4,183 yards. It was 27 touchdowns and 14 interceptions, 67% passing completion. He rushed for 400, or just short of 400 yards, it's 389 yards, but with zero touchdowns this year. Well, we'll caveat that and say he rushed for four the year before. So there's a little bit of a rush side to this quarterback. Quarterback number three, and I think this is the one where everyone goes, oh, no, this quarterback is, again, slightly more rushing. So it was 4,600 yards, 29 passing touchdowns. There was 18 interceptions with a passing completion rate in the 66.5%. There was 524 rushing yards and 15 touchdowns. So that one may be a slightly more obvious quarterback.
Do I take Josh Allen as my quarterback?
And then the final quarterback is a 50-50 pass and rush. So it's 3,678 yards passing, 24 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 67% passer completion rating, rushing of 821 yards and 5 TDs. So again, that one may be a little bit obvious of who that one is.
I think I know that one, but I don't know who the other three are.
So pick quarterback 1, 2, 3, or 4.
And are we building this like with the real life GMs of the real life team or for fantasy purposes?
No.
Real life.
So real life team. Yeah, real life team, not fantasy.
Oh, in that case.
Well, I think that quarterback 4 was the MVP, Lamar Jackson. So if I'm wrong, then correct me. But if I'm right, I'm going QB4.
So I'll go on to the wide receivers next.
You're not
going
to
tell him?
No. Make a note of it.
It's fine.
So
how many receivers?
Next one. Three wide receivers based on their stats last year. So
we're going to be here all night.
Number one. It's all right. It's quick, this. Number one is a stud wide receiver one, not much else. Number two is a wide receiver one with two fairly decent wide receivers. Number three is two standout wide receivers and nothing. And then number four is just a mixture of all four. So stats based, and again, I feel like this one's really easy. So it was the one with basically one superstar was 1,749 yards, 12 touchdowns, and he did have three fumbles. The other two receivers were 6.57 and 4.18, and they had 10 touchdowns between them there. Okay.
Yeah.
Wide receiver room number two was 1,216 for the wide receiver one, who had 7 touchdowns and 1 fumble. The other two is 6.67 and 2 TDs and 6.56 and 5 TDs. Well, we'll say this, one of those receivers did miss 4 games on IR, so it was a slightly better one there. The two wide receiver team is 1,456 yards, 7 touchdowns, 2 fumbles, and 1,066 yards, 7 touchdowns, 1 fumble, and then wide receiver three had 164 yards. And then finally, the last one is the where there's basically a mix of three fairly decent ones. So it's 114 yards, 8 touchdowns, 894 yards, 5 touchdowns, and 628 yards, 4 touchdowns. So a bit more of a spread on that one.
How many options were there? 4.
4. Oh. So you've got stud, wide receiver one with two other parts, two wide receivers, and then pretty much a mix of three.
Oh, that's... I have no idea who any of these are.
That wide receiver one was well obvious.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I might have zoned out a little bit at that point.
Okay. Right. So we go to the running backs next. You've got one running back that does it all. So there's two running backs in this. So one running back that does it all with a little bit of something else. One pure runner with another one. And then we've got a running back that basically two running backs that pretty much do it all and two running backs that are more sort of round and pound. So I'll go through them. It'll make it a bit more obvious when I go through stats. But first one is the sort of the do-it-all running back. So it was 994 yards rushing, five touchdowns, and 591 receptions with four touchdowns. And his partner had 214 yards rushing, 78 yards receiving, but no touchdowns.
I know that is so.
I saw the smile come on your face there.
Brief.
Yeah. I will tell you all of them at the end. So, number two was 1,167 yards with 12 touchdowns, and there was 200 yards receiving, and his partner was 453 yards, two touchdowns, and 380 receiving yards with one touchdown. So that's more of a rusher as your number one and a bit of pass catching back. That's the word I was after. Right.
It's late.
Yeah, it is late. Running back room three is 786 yards rushing, 480 yards receiving with four rushing touchdowns, four receiving touchdowns. And his partner was 683 rushing, 193 receiving, four rushing touchdowns, one receiving. And then finally, the two sort of not really much in terms of receiving is 1,035 yards rushing with eight TDs, 784 rushing with four TDs, and between them they had just about 500 yards receiving with zero TDs receiving.
Okay.
Huh? And then last one, we're going to go tight ends. Tight ends is real quick. So it's a non-blocking tight end, one that does a bit of blocking, one that does 50-50, and one that does basically no catching. So essentially a wide receiver one is 984 yards receiving with five TDs. He had 19 red zone targets, I will say that. Tight end number two with a bit of blocking, 719 yards, six TDs, and he had 15 red zone targets. Tight end number three was 592 yards, three TDs, and was more heavily involved with the run blocking, and he had 10 red zone targets. And then the final one is 368 yards, one TD, and he had five red zone targets. That was a lot. I need a sip and a drink.
I think this is right better in your head.
Well, so the reason this came about was I was arguing over... I basically said I would pick Bijan and Tyler Allgeier as a 1-2 over, I can't remember who was arguing against, but it was someone like a Derrick Henry. So I was given the stats. No,
it wasn't a busy day in your new job, was it?
Training day, mate. It was a training day. No, it was a conversation we had on lunch. Right then, let's go through the team. So, who did you go with your quarterback? No, you went
three.
You went three. Four.
Four, mate.
He went one.
Lamar,
okay.
But I don't know.
So, Pete, you went number one. That was Dak Prescott.
Yes.
Oh.
Go on, Dak.
So, Ian, you went number three, but you know who number three is. Do you want to tell us?
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen was quarterback number three. Matt, you went quarterback number four. You said that you thought it was Lamar. It was Lamar. Does anyone want to take a guess who quarterback two was?
I don't remember it.
Mahomes.
4,183 yards, 27 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, 389 rushing.
Stroud.
It's not Stroud. Stroud was well better than that.
I'm out.
Zach Wilson? Is
it not Pat?
No. It is Pat. Pat Mahomes.
Yeah. No one might.
I changed my mind. I'm going to go
no
two.
No, you said one. Right then. Wide receiver rooms. What did we go with wide receiver rooms?
I went three.
Well, Matt went one. And then Pete and Ian went three. So, Matt, do you know who the wide receiver room was someone? You just like the superstar.
One later on sounded like it might be AJ Brown. So I'm sticking with one, but I don't know.
Pete, who did you say there?
CeeDee Lamb.
It was CeeDee Lamb. So that was the Dallas Cowboys wide receivers. So that was Lamb, Cox, and Gallup. Ian and Pete, you both went with number three. Do you know who that was?
No.
So, Matt, you were right. It was the Philly Eagles, that one. So that was AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, and Zacharias.
Devonta Smith got to 1,000 yards.
1,066, yeah. Does anyone want to take a guess which wide receiver room was 1,200 yards, 7 TDs, 667, and 656? Which was number two?
Bengals.
Bengals. No. It was Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd, and T. Higgins. I did caveat that and say that he was injured for, I think it was 4 or 5 games, and he's actually better than that.
Even when he wasn't.
Anyone want to take a guess on wide receiver group four, which was the 114, 894, and 628?
Not a clue.
Don't know.
Vikings.
No, it was the Seahawks.
That makes sense.
Running backs. Matt, I'm assuming you went number one.
Yeah,
Pete's gone one.
I thought I knew who it was, so number one.
Yeah,
I went two.
Ian?
Two.
You went two. So, who's number one, Matt and Pete?
I think it's Breece Hall.
Was Breece Hall and Dalvin Cook. Number two, Ian, any ideas who it was that you picked?
No, I just like the stats.
Like stats, okay. That was Derrick Henry and Tyjae Spears.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Anyone know who number three was? Which was the 976 and 683 with 500 receiving yards and 193 receiving yards.
The Browns?
No, the Browns. When did Ford become a superstar?
I actually originally, when you were saying it, thought it was the Steelers, but then when you read out number four, I thought that was the Steelers. So I don't know who number three was.
Good knowledge. Number four is the Steelers. So that was Najee Harris and Jalen Warren. But number three was Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier, which is the one that I mentioned earlier.
Fair enough.
And then finally, tight ends. I'm assuming you all went tight end one because you're all animals.
No, I went tight end four.
No, I went one.
No, I did. I went with a blocking tight end because I've gone with an all-out rusher.
Fair enough. I'll give you that. So you, do you want to tell me who tight end one was?
Travis Kelce.
Yeah,
yeah.
Was it?
Travis Kelce. Yeah. What was actually so mad when I did this? What was quite mad when I actually did this was he wasn't the highest receiving yards in the tight end last year. George Kittle won that. So George Kittle was the only tight end with over 1,000 yards last year. Tight end for Ian, do you want to take a guess who that was?
Someone rubbish. Johnny Smith.
It was Granson from the Colts.
Yes. Yeah.
Granson from the Colts.
Big fan of that one.
Tight end two, who was a wide receiver, or essentially wide receiver two. Does anyone have a guess on that? 719 yards, 6 touchdowns last year. Cole Kmet.
No. Okay.
That's not bad.
And then 592 yards, 3 touchdowns. Third choice receiver in this team.
Schultz?
I was just going to say Schultz.
No. No, Dallas Goedert. You knew Dallas was Goedert was going to come in there at some point.
He had to be in there somewhere, didn't he?
Yeah. I'm just trying to prove that he was worth the trading, but he's still not biting, so we'll move on. No.
Well, I don't want him. I want Granson, don't I?
Yeah. That was not how I expected that one to go. I thought it was a bit better. But,
that was something.
Yeah.
It was different.
You can tell it's 18 minutes, can't
you? Yeah. So, next episode, we're going to do rookies, though. So, I'll be on my A game for that one, because there's a lot of talent there.
I have watched a combined 7 minutes.
Pick and choose. Go on, Pete.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've watched a combined 7 minutes of YouTube videos on two different wide receivers, so I am all set to talk about the draft.
Was it Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Neighbors by chance?
No, I didn't see the point in watching videos on Harrison because he's quite clearly going number one overall. So I was like, well, I'll look at Neighbors and Rome.
Romeo and Jose.
I'm surprised it wasn't Puka Nacua and Quentin Johnston. Pete coming fully armed the last year's rookie stuff.
Right, wrap up, Matt.
I was going to say, Matt, they've got you. Two wide receivers that you like later down? Not Marvin Harrison, Neighbors, or Ndouzi. You got any? I'm throwing you right under the bus here.
You know what? I know so little about draft prospects. I'm glad I'm not on the outside of
it's all right,
the top name. Outside of the top names that I've heard listening to, other pods and stuff. So I can't even answer you. I just know that the Jets are going to get Brock Bowers at pick 10 and then I'll be happy, I think.
That'd be solid, that as well, to be fair. Yeah, I don't think I'd like that too much. Actually, we're all in on the AFC if you get Bowers. right, let's wrap it up. Jets Texans championship game. We'll meet up halfway and go for a pint and watch it together.
Yeah. I'll kill you if you win, though.
Nice. I'll just sit and cry if I lose. So, yeah, I'm a lover, not a fighter. I'm just a really bad lover. Right, let's wrap it up by saying thanks very much for listening. Matt, it's been a pleasure having you on. And get signed up to the JTT Cup. Make sure you go follow them on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it and hit the pinned link. Sign up. Donate as well. Even if you don't want to play, just send some cash over because it's a great cause. And then you can follow us on socials as well. Watch you on your Twitter and your X, which is at JTT. I was going to say JTT. It's not. It's at JMD Pod on X.
I'm so glad we've moved on to video recording now, because the viewers can actually watch my facial expressions as you make an absolute mess of the socials at the end of it, and you just can't wrap it up.
To be fair, it's better than Pete going, Ian, you say it because I can't remember him. So,
right,
anyway, good night.
True leader does.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks very much, guys.